is composed of 2 trillion galaxies, only 2 of which are visible from the northern hemisphere. Each of those 2 trillion galaxies is composed of an average of 100 billion stars. That means that there are 25 trillion stars in the universe per every person on the planet Earth. You thought the national debt was a big thing. At the beginning of it all, when God spoke, They estimate that the distance from one side of the universe to the other is 93 billion light years. At the beginning of it all, when God spoke creation into existence, he set something in motion that is beyond any of our ability to comprehend. None of us can begin to imagine what an incredibly vast universe we dwell in. No wonder the psalmist once wrote, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you visit him." We live in an incredible universe. And beyond the universe is heaven itself, which envelops and engulfs everything we have the capacity to understand. So here's the question. In a universe that is so vast and so unimaginable, why should God even care about this planet? Why should he even be aware that we exist at all? After all, we're one tiny planet in the midst of a vast universe. But in another way, the psalmist has forgotten something critical. You see, he focused on the power and the majesty of God. But he lost sight of the character of God. When he asks the question, "What is man that you're mindful of him?" he's forgetting that the God who created it all created each part of creation. Not one thing mass-produced. Not one thing that is not unique with the fingerprints of our Creator. As hard as it is to realize how big the universe is, it is equally hard to understand how God can be aware of every one of us. But this is what the Bible tells us. This is what the Gospels bear witness to. That our infinite God is infinitely personal. And our little lost planet is in the midst of a vast universe, but it has infinite value in his plan. Those lost people who dwell in this lost planet matter to God more than you could possibly imagine. That's what makes what the Bible says in Luke 1:26 so amazing. The angel Gabriel was sent by God from heaven itself to a city of Galilee in northern Israel named Nazareth. A majestic plan was set forth in a little town, and an ordinary woman called Mary, who had been chosen by God. Who was this young woman from Nazareth? Through the ages, Mary has been described in so many ways. Some people believe she is the holiest person who ever lived outside of Christ himself. Some even insist that she lived a sinless life. Others have declared that she had miraculous powers and could accomplish things that nobody else on earth could accomplish. But the Gospel of Luke reveals a different picture of the mother of Christ. What Luke describes is a simple young lady with a profound faith in Almighty God. She was young, probably the age of our older youth. She grew up in a small town where nothing significant had ever happened, where nobody famous had ever been born. She was engaged to Joseph, the village carpenter, and her expectation was that she would live a simple life in a simple town with a loving man and raise her family, and that would give her life purpose. Mary was a young lady of extraordinary trust in God. Her faith was an organic part of who she was. It wasn't as though it was, here's my faith and here's the rest of my life. Here's what I do when I'm at synagogue. Here's what I do everywhere else. Instead, she realized that her relationship with God was who she was. And everything she did and whatever she was involved in, it was because she trusted the Lord. She believed her life was in loving hands, had a deep desire to be pleasing to God. But with all of those things said, Mary's life was not the kind where you would expect a miracle. Nobody prepared her for an angel's visit. And nothing prepared her for what the angel had come to declare. So in the midst of this vast universe and this little bitty planet and this tiny town and this one single girl, God changed everything. And that's what Gabriel came to declare to Mary. On that day when he came to visit her, he came to let her know God's plan included her. He knew exactly where she was. He knew precisely what was going on in her life, and he had chosen her. Listen to this. Out of the universe. For an incredible opportunity to be used by God. So what did Gabriel come to declare? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. And the first thing is this. The angel declared, God is here. Gabriel brought a greeting from the Lord. He said, Hail, O blessed one. The Lord is with you. The Lord is here. It's not the kind of greeting a village girl's used to hearing. Blessed one was a greeting that was reserved for someone of real importance. When you heard someone described that way, you recognized, here's someone of great value. This is someone everybody else sees and everybody else respects and everybody else does obedience to. Yet Gabriel spoke those words to simple Mary. And if that didn't get her attention, the next word surely did. The Lord is with you. It's not a general statement. It was a very specific, very personal statement. Gabriel was saying to Mary, the Lord is with you. God Almighty is with you. The Lord you've heard about all your life is with you. The God who has accomplished all of the things He's accomplished through His people Israel. The Lord is with you. The God of all of creation is with you. The one who said, let there be light is with you. The Lord is with you. Mary? There was no doubt. The angel had been sent to her and her alone. And while the message was absolutely unique in all of human history, the personal greeting was not. because that's how God deals with his people. God usually deals with his people personally. When you pull out your Bible and you read the story of all of the people who've been a part of salvation history, of all mankind, of the Lord who has offered salvation to all of humanity, one of the things you discover is God comes to person by person by person by person. He doesn't go from group to group to group to group. He comes and he says to each person personally, the Lord is with you. And this morning, that's what I get to declare in this room. The Lord is with you. This morning, I don't know everything you're dealing with in your life. I can't claim to know all your needs, all your questions, all your fears, all your struggles. I don't know where you most need a message from the Lord, but I do know this. The Lord is with you. Right here, right now, God is present. The Lord Jesus dwells within the lives of those who trust him. The Holy Spirit guides those who are dependent upon him. The Lord is with you. The glory of Christmas is that the Son of God cares enough that he comes into every life to bring his mercy and his grace. And if that's all you receive for Christmas this year, you are blessed beyond imagination. Because the mercy of God has descended upon your life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Because the grace of God is abundantly poured out in your life. And you can depend upon him. The Lord is with you. But Gabriel wasn't through. He also declared to Mary, God is here and you are chosen. He'd been sent to tell Mary she was a central figure in God's great plan for saving humanity. She'd been chosen to be the virgin mother of the very Son of God. And he said, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. I love that last phrase. In light of all of those things I said at the beginning, in light of the fact that we live in a universe that can be measured 93 billion light years, that's an awfully long way to go, but it's an infinite distance. But the Bible says this, of his kingdom there's no end. There's nowhere that it starts. There's nowhere that it finished. His kingdom envelops everything in all of creation. And it goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. This Savior who was coming is unbelievable. His power is without equal. His majesty is without comparison. And he was coming to be the child of the Virgin Mary. There was no doubt God had chosen her specifically. It was his great purpose for her life. God was going to do something that had never been done, and Mary had been divinely chosen to be part of what would happen. It would be her life's direction, not just to give birth to a baby in Bethlehem, to be the earthly mother of the Son of God. She was chosen to invest her life in Jesus, to nurture him, to protect him, to provide for him, to prepare him to fulfill his mission to save. God had a great purpose for Mary's life. While we might step back and look through our telescope and say, she's nobody special in a little planet way off yonder. God said, no, specifically chosen by me, specific purpose. Nobody in all of creation has ever done what she's going to do. Because that's the way the Lord works. The Lord had a purpose for her life, and the Lord has a purpose for your life. It won't be anything like his plan for Mary, but it will be his plan for you personally, because he knows who you are. He knows why you were born. He knows what he wants to accomplish through your life. But if you're going to fulfill God's plan, you have to follow Mary's example. You have to be listening when the Lord speaks to you. Your ears have to be tuned to the voice of his Holy Spirit as he begins to reveal to you, this is what I want to accomplish through your life. And you have to be yielded to his will. God will not reveal his plan to anyone who attempts to say to him, look, you tell me what you have in mind and I'll think about it and let you know whether I want to be involved or not. He's looking for those people who are yielded. God, here I am. I'm your child. You have your plan. I'll do whatever you say, because you have to be surrendered no matter what. Mary had questions to what Gabriel was saying to her. She wasn't challenging what the angel had revealed. Instead, she was asking the normal questions anybody would ask if they were in her place. Because the Lord never discourages honest questions from sincere hearts. He's always willing to let you ask so that he can respond and he can reassure you and he can show you truth. As long as you're serious about seeking his guidance and following his way. Mary's questions were normal, understandable kinds of questions. Mary wanted to know, why? Why me out of all the women in the world? Why would you pick somebody like me? I'm nobody special. I've never done anything great. I don't live in anywhere people would recognize. Why me? And beyond that, she knew her own heart. She was aware of her own sins and flaws that were there. She recognized that she was not perfect. She was sure she could never earn the privilege of being used by God. When she asked the angel why, what she really wanted to know is, can't God find somebody more pure, more perfect, more special than me? The answer she received was that God had chosen her. It was an act of pure grace. Why me? Because God has chosen you. God had you in mind from the foundation of the world. You have always been his plan. But why me? It's his grace. It's not anything you've earned, and it's not anything you particularly deserve. It is his grace that has chosen you. It was God's divine decision. All that Mary could do was receive this great blessing. If you ever want to see a believer who is a picture of pure misery, find someone who's not like Mary at all. Someone who looks at life and thinks, whatever God's given me, I deserve it. Whatever God's doing through me, I'm the one that ought to be involved. After all, I'm better than anybody else, and I've earned God's attention. There's a recipe for misery. Rather, God chooses and God moves and God acts in your life, and sometimes you want to ask why, but the answer is God's grace. Never forget, there's a reason that blessings are called blessings. They're unearned, they're unexpected, they are never claimed, they are always received. They come from God himself. Blessings are evidence of amazing grace. And he does that in your life, and he does it in mine. Why? Grace. Pure grace. Mary had another question. How? How could this happen? After all, I'm not married. I'm a virgin. How could I give birth to a child? And the answer Gabriel provided probably left more questions than answers. The Bible says, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will indeed be called the Son of God.'" How does this happen? God's going to do it. He's never done it before. He'll never do it again. But this time, God's going to do it. There's a shorthand answer to the shorthand answer that Gabriel provided, and it is simply this: God is in the miracle business, and this will be the most amazing miracle creation has ever seen. He's sending his son from heaven to earth. He would be the Lord Almighty in a baby's form. Everyone who witnessed his coming would understand only God could do this. And then the Lord challenged Mary. Trust me. Mary, just trust me. Because that's how he accomplishes his will. In her life, in your life, in my life. He doesn't always offer explanations. Often, he simply challenges us to take him at his word. Trust me. Now came the moment of truth. The announcement had been given. The questions had been asked. Now heaven and earth waited to see. How would Mary respond? She made a simple choice. I will trust the Lord. With what I see, with what I don't see. With what I understand and what I can't understand. I will place my life in his hands, and I will follow wherever he leads. So she made her own declaration. Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Here I am, God. Little me, from a little place, but this is what you've chosen to do. Here I am. So how do we respond when the Lord acts in our own lives? That's exactly what we say. Lord, here I am. I know my flaws. I recognize the places where I've fallen short. I realize that there have been times in my life when I have just absolutely rebelled against you. And yet you're telling me you want to be my Savior. You want to forgive my sins. You want to make me clean. You want to give me everlasting life through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It's an act of grace. I don't earn it. I haven't deserved it. But Lord, you're telling me that's what you want to do. Just as surely as you chose Mary to be the mother of the Son of God, you have chosen me to be one of your children. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. But I receive it. I will trust the Lord. And that's his challenge to you and to me this morning. If you're here and you're not a believer, if you're here and you've never come into a personal relationship with God Almighty, who came to this planet to save creation, and who is reaching out to you in your heart of hearts right now, and you know it's him, maybe today is the day when you need to say, I will trust the Lord. I'll be glad to introduce you to Christ in a moment. We're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. If today's the day when you need to trust him, you come forward and I'll meet you here and I'll introduce you to the Savior. Maybe part of God's plan in your life is to be part of what he's doing in this church fellowship. He wants you to bring your membership here and serve him here. And you know that's what he wants because you feel it in your heart. Today might be the day you need to come. Or maybe there's something in your life and you feel it as deep as you possibly can. God wants to do something special with my life. And I just need to come and say, I don't understand it all, but I'll trust him. And maybe today you just need to come and say, pray for me as I follow where he leads. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand. We're going to sing our hymn of invitation as he deals with your heart. Trust him. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Been a good day in God's house today. I'm glad we got to share this time together. Let me encourage you, 6 o'clock tonight. Remember, a little bit different time. 6 o'clock, our choir musical. Jeff, is there anything we need to know?
It'll be good.
It's going to be a great evening together. I hope that you're here at 6 to be blessed as we celebrate the coming of our Savior through the music and the leadership of our choir. I know it's going to be a tremendous blessing. Well, I'm glad that we're all here today, but I'm especially glad today because Donnie Barger's with us. Donnie and Jennifer, of course, IMB missionaries, longtime members of this church until the Lord took them to Richmond, where Donnie is. Right now, he's doing some really special stuff. He is leading Southern Baptist International Mission Board's AI response to how can we share gospel out in this whole new world that's existing. And you may want to give us just a word about that, Donnie, because I'm going to ask him to come and lead us in our prayer. The last time we had a trustees meeting in Richmond, everybody who gave a report, literally, everybody who gave a report at some point would say, Donnie Barger and his team. And I texted Donnie and I said, it's like knowing Elvis. And he texted back and said, fat Elvis or skinny Elvis? Donnie, we're glad that you're here. The family tragedy that's brought you here, but we're glad you're here. Come share with us a little bit, and then if you would, lead our closing prayer. Go.
Yes, it is great to be here. I am here for a funeral. My brother-in-law passed away after 8 years of battling cancer. on Thursday, and tomorrow is his funeral, and so that's why I'm here. Yeah, so I do get to lead the our innovation team at the International Mission Board, do a lot of really fun and innovative things like artificial intelligence, digital engagement, and it's really amazing to see how the Lord is using that team to further his work all over the world. And some of the really, I don't have time to get into all the really fun stuff and the way that the Lord is using technology to make translation faster, to help us engage people and online through the social media and different digital communities. So yeah, thank you. I'd love to share with you more about that. Let's pray and we'll close out. Father, I do thank you for how you reach out to each of us individually and in this story of how you interacted with Mary through the angel and how her response was to serve you and to be available. And I do thank you, Father, for that opportunity that we have to also have that same individual response to your callings and your desires for us. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of you sharing your love with everyone, from our neighbors to people all the way around the world. Just pray that you would give us opportunities over the next few weeks during this Christmas season to be light in a world filled with darkness. And help us, Father, address the world's biggest problem, lostness. Thank you for this church and what it's meant to me and our family and how it's ministered to us. And I just pray that you would help this church to be a light here in this community. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.